Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everybody, welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello Scott.
Josh, my friend, a thing doing the rounds in the news that we were going to run with initially, and we didn't because the source is ridiculous, but then enough people got a taste of that source, and now it's out there in the wild, so we should talk about it, is the idea of an Oblivion remake. This originally came from, or originally was reported by Xfire, but the source is an ex-developer from Virtuous Games, the team that are making the Metal Gear Solid 3 remake. They took to the Reddit thread of gaming leaks and rumors and just sprawled out everything else that team's doing. Nine times out of ten, whenever that happens, people like us take a look at it. It's fun, it's banter, but nine times out of ten, it's not actually real. But the amount of people going with this, and because the moderator for that Reddit thread has apparently gone some way to verifying the source itself, it is worth talking about. So the source from Virtuous Games has revealed four major projects in production.
Four
whole things. One of them we already know. It's the Metal Gear Solid 3 remake. Apparently that game... What?
Metal Gear Solid's getting a remake?
You wouldn't know because it's only a CG trailer out for right now. But that's apparently called Project Cobra. Something else they have is Project Massive, a Monster Hunter meets Shadow of the Colossus type game. Project Ominous.
That is ominous.
Not a great project name. Project Dubious. A narrative, narrative climbing game. And Project Alter, which is the Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion remake. This has been written up now by various other people, and over on Insider Gaming, they mentioned, I don't know if you people have mentioned, that the game is apparently running on Unreal Engine 5, which would be a massive departure for a Bethesda game. The original Oblivion was running on Gamebryo, and they're always adamant about using their own engines. It's why they fly apart all the goddamn time.
Yeah.
But still, this remake would apparently run on Unreal Engine 5, and they were, or are, targeting a release date at the end of 2024 or at the beginning of 2025.
Really interesting, this stuff, Scott Telford.
Yes.
Because I love The Elder Scrolls for Oblivion.
You do, don't
I think
you?
It's an incredible game. I actually went back to it last year, tried to get into it, but I couldn't because it felt a little bit too dated for my taste.
Skyrim's so much better.
In certain regards, because Skyrim certainly not necessarily better, in my opinion, but certainly better in some regards.
We've got tap dance over these laser beams.
We certainly
with this,
do.
This Bethesda founder.
Certainly better in some regards.
Yes.
Because especially when it came to the level design and the dungeon design, I think Skyrim's dungeons like pretty much set the bar for how all side dungeons should be developed going forward. Mm-hmm. Like the way they weave in on of themselves and the way that they kind of end with a chest, making sure that you know the dungeon is done and you can, like, carry on. Oblivion kind of has none of that, where you just sort of get lost in these labyrinths. Anyway, the point is, there are elements of Oblivion that I think could be updated really well to make it closer to Skyrim in terms of the core game design without losing the magical world that, for me, still makes Oblivion this fascinating piece of fantasy fiction. Because the world of Oblivion is kind of completely different to the world of Skyrim, and while you might prefer one or the other, I think it's still very valuable in an interesting place to explore.
I tell you what's fascinating is we don't know how the hell Elder Scrolls 6 is going to play, but that would be the next advancement of Elder Scrolls combat. Like, Elder Scrolls combat is very flaily, it's obviously very spell-based. It depends what how you've built your character.
Yeah.
But if you go down the melee front, on Skyrim's case, there was just a lot of flailing around, a lot of hoping for things to connect or whatever. And I always kind of wondered if they were going to tighten that stuff up with Elder Scrolls 6. But if you have another team attempting to sort of redo Oblivion and modernize it, do you then have to kind of, you know, know, get into the guts of it? Does it still play like it did back in 2006? Or do you start bringing things in that are maybe going to be reserved for the next main installment because you do have, you know, a new Elder Scrolls for a whole new audience?
An interesting question, Scott Telford, because Oblivion is even more floaty than Skyrim. And it also has a few weird and kind of niche approaches to how it tackles its RPG systems. Mm. For instance, in Oblivion, you only upgrade certain attributes by performing those certain attributes, and then you can't really specialize in those attributes unless you do that, which makes a lot of time spent doing things like jumping around the world so you can get your agility up. You know, I remember being a younger player back in the day and concocting some kind of elastic band situation where I would turn the difficulty all the way down, go into the arena, make sure I was pushing forward on the controller so people would hit me with my heavy armor on and I'd get that heavy armor stat on. Obviously, Skyrim has a little bit of that as well, but it kind of moved towards a more accessible RPG foundation, in my opinion, with its traits and its attributes and whatnot, whereas Oblivion is weirder, and I kind of wouldn't want to see that change, but I would want to see the core gameplay change because, yeah, that definitely doesn't hold up as much when you put it even next to Skyrim.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I think Bethesda are in this fascinating place. Like, there was all the stuff that came out during all the court hearing things as Microsoft were finalizing their Activision acquisition, and there was all the stuff that came out about the way that they're handling first-party stuff and how that trickled back to Pete Hines and Todd Howard and how the way that they run Bethesda and how they were, you know, increasingly thought of as Xbox first-party, and they will be going forward. You have to assume that's why Starfield was delayed, because they need to polish it a lot more. They can't have another Fallout 76 release. But it's just one of those things where Bethesda, like I said, where they are in their career is just fascinating, because now they are an Xbox first party. And does that mean entertaining the idea of remakes or going back to previous things and putting all this, you know, R&D, all this like new age sort of game design things in there to polish it up? Because for me, Bethesda's greatest trait was that they were this like garage band of ideas. They were just this MacGyver throwing it all together, Tears of the Kingdom style thing that occasionally worked beautifully. But the charm, it was always a level of charm that was underneath all of that stuff that came from the idea that we always kind of recognized that. We kind of knew that these are kind of ramshackle game ideas that come together in ways that are very, very unique. You would kind of lose that, at least I would assume, if you polish it too much.
Oh.
Or you make it too much of a first party game. But I don't know. Xbox are yet to really put their foot forward in terms of Xbox first party.
Listen.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon. That's what Bethesda want to hear. They want people saying, if you polish this too much, it won't be as good, so they can get away with all the bugs that they like putting in the Elder Scrolls games and the Fallout games.
Didn't Todd Howard himself say, like, oh, the modders love this engine, the modders love making it worse. Oh yeah, yeah. Can you finish it first?
So Todd Howard said a lot of stuff he in does. His time. He does, all I'm going to say there. I think it would be interesting to go back to Oblivion, because say they are having this initiative where they're looking not only at prior Bethesda titles, but also other titles within the Xbox catalog. Mm. Oblivion is obviously beloved. It is obviously another Elder Scrolls game, and we're going to be starved of Elder Scrolls games until 6 drops in 2040, so it would make sense to go back to the most recent one after Skyrim, updated, get it out as like a, not a placeholder, but certainly a stopgap release. Mm-hmm. That said, it's going to be even longer until we get a new Fallout, so I want to see Fallout 3 remastered, and I want to see Fallout New Vegas remastered. I'm all for this stuff, because while you can go back and play these games on backwards compatibility, I do think that the leaps between the different installments that Bethesda has put out are substantial enough to the point where, for me anyway, I go back to those old games and I almost can't play them because aren't as modern as I want them to be. So that's why I am championing a remaster rather than just the ability to play them as they are now.
Which is kind of hilarious because that's the thing. Does Bethesda let a different developer alter their signature DNA that much? The idea of Virtuous doing this. I mean, Virtuous aren't this massive team that people are sort of pointing to as, oh my God, I can't believe they're getting their hands on the likes of Metal Gear Solid. And they don't have a reputation yet. So it's kind of one of those things where if you're Bethesda and you have all these signature ideas, which again kind of came out during all the court hearing stuff, the emails between Pete Hines and Todd Howard and Phil Spencer, with Hines just saying like, we barely are in the loop in terms of how we're being referred to and what's going to happen in terms of first party stuff and whatever else in regards to the development. So I just think all of this is kind of fascinating. The idea of doing an Oblivion remake isn't something I would have remotely thought of. I would personally rather they either redid the original, because then you've got to go all the way back to Elder Scrolls Arena. Daggerfall is the one that I want the most done, because I love that game's art design. That game's box art and everything is so cool, so gnarly and old school fantasy. I like the idea of doing something like that.
I also do, right? But I think the reason that they're going to this studio, should this report be believed and this leak be believed, is that Oblivion is, it's not easy, but it's easier because it's the most similar to Skyrim. Like, you can give someone Oblivion and they will probably say, this plays like Skyrim, because it does, it really does. Obviously, many changes, that's bigger and whatnot. But I think in terms of the amount of work that would need to put into it to modernize it, far less than a total reimagining of those earlier games. And while I would think that is maybe more valuable and more valid, I think from like a money perspective, they can look at that and just say, well, that's almost there. You know, you kind of have the blueprint, because the blueprint is Skyrim, just elevate that a little bit and kind of give it a modern sheen in Unreal Engine 5 again, if this is to be believed, and then get it out there. No game development is easy, but this is theoretically easier than doing what you suggested, even if what you suggested is a little bit more interesting.
that's always the thing. I think in regards to what this means for Bethesda, what this means for a new Xbox first party rollout, can they get away with just giving you Oblivion as it played back in the day, but it looks very shiny, it looks like the most recent fan mods, would that be enough? I would argue that you need to redo all the UI and everything. I think when you go back to it now, not all of it, but if you go back to all the shopkeep stuff, there's a lot of bits of graphical design in there that have just, they're full of jaggies, they haven't aged very well.
I've
got Photoshop brain, I'm just saying. If you go back to that stuff, it's not as pristine as it could be. So if you're going to go into the guts of it and remix it a bit, give me some new UI.
Don't do this. Fair enough, the jaggies, clear those up. To me, the appeal of Oblivion is in its vibe. And for me, so much of that vibe comes from its just UI design, its overall aesthetic, the pages of that book that you are virtually opening as you look at your character and look at your stats and look at the map.
They didn't keep that thing.
Okay, thank God.
I just mean like the specific graphical stylings that went, like, you have to know what I mean? It's like its fonts, it's the specific little icons that they used. It's not the overarching idea of tapping into a book.
You're going to change the fonts?
I might have to.
Don't change the fonts. The fonts
are
so...
Refined version of it. Same shape, just refine it. It just looked old. It looked dated.
Oh!
If you're going to... overhaul stuff. You should overhaul the fonts as well, the UI stuff. I would say, but let us know what you think down in the comments below and check this video out right here for something related to Bethesda or Elder Scrolls. I'll think of it later. For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
I'll catch you next time.
Don't change the fonts.
See ya.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.